Springfield's Talk 104.1 coming up next week, July 6th through July 10th, Bleed Red Blood Drive at the Community Blood Center of the Ozarks, Thompson Donor Center, 220 West Plainview Road. Each participant will receive two general admission tickets to a future Springfield Cardinal game, a Bleed Red t-shirt, and more. That is the 16th annual CBCO Bleed Red Blood Drive. Details at KSGF.com. Don Luzader with news.
And good morning. The Christian County Health Department is reporting three new cases of COVID-19. Two of those are considered to be community spread because investigators are not able to link them to another positive case. All three of those folks have been instructed to quarantine at home until they meet CDC criteria for release. Also, they've identified the close contacts of those people. Christian County count now, as far as total COVID-19 cases, stands at 50. 15 of those cases are considered active. Protests against Dixie Outfitters in Branson grew tense for the second week in a row as locals clashed over the meaning and future of the store. Some of those opposing the store requested that it be removed from the strip. Some others say the owners of the store have ties to the KKK. Those supporting Dixie Outfitters say the Confederate flag represents heritage and not racism. They say the store should not be removed from the strip just because some people don't like it. And one man is dead after a crash on Kearney and West Bypass. It happened Sunday afternoon. A 30-year-old man pulled into traffic on his motorcycle and was hit by an oncoming car. Police do not suspect any alcohol or drug impairment in that crash. Both lanes of Kearney or West Bypass were blocked for several hours on Sunday. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by Anchor Tactical Supply. A 50% chance of showers, thunderstorms mainly after 5 tonight with a high of 84. Slight chance of showers, storms tonight, 73. 20% chance of storms tomorrow. High of 90, heat index of 99. And Wednesday, Thursday, sunny, hot with a high of 95. It is 74 at the KSGF studios. Queen City Motors Talk and Text Line, 447-KSGF. There was a significant amount of criticism of the news leader regarding their initial story a few weeks ago with the attempt on Officer Preeby's life. And the initial headline was something along the lines of, like the police shoot man in cars, And so the reason I know that there was a significant amount of pushback on that headline, which left out the fact that it was self-defense, that there was an attempt on a police officer's life, is because the news leader responded with an editorial explaining themselves. Now, I saw this headline, and to me, it's misleading, and it is: man wearing White Lives Matter shirt arrested at Dixie Outfitters protest. Now, is that accurate? Yes, a man was arrested who was wearing a White Lives Matter t-shirt. But isn't it fair to say the inference one might take from the headline is that is why he was arrested? When according to the story itself, that's not why he was arrested. He was arrested because of things he was saying or yelling. And it was determined by law enforcement at the time that the words that he was using could be insightful and, it could incite some sort of conflict. And so it was a disturbing the peace because it was a peaceful disturbance. It was disturbing the peace. And so this is why he was arrested. He was told, now, I don't know whether it was legitimate arrest. That's not my point here. But evidently, according to the news leader story, he was told basically, stop it. And he wouldn't. So they're like, okay, we're going to arrest you. And I don't know what goes on in the minds of people who craft these stories. And I have on numerous occasions pointed out I'm not a journalist. But to me, if you have a headline that the headline alone gives people the false impression, what's the point of the story? The point of the story, I guess, is the guy got arrested, right? Well, you see that headline and it's not unreasonable to believe somebody's going to see that headline and think that's why he got arrested, when that's not true. Now, I suppose the defense could be, well, but it's technically true. Well, yeah. I mean, if that's your goal is to be technically accurate, all right. But if your goal is to have a headline that gives you a sense of what happened, then that is just, you know, I mean, a more accurate headline would be, you know, man disturbing the peace arrested at Dixie Outfitters protest. You know, that would be a little more accurate, don't you think? It would give you the correct understanding. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I guess it's clickbait. It is, or I don't know if it's to mislead, if it's to be inflammatory, if it's to make people think, oh, they're arresting people for wearing a White Lives Matter t-shirt in order to get people riled up and angry. Or upset. I don't know what the reason or rationale is behind it, but it's just... At some point, these headlines that are so misleading are exhausting. And I get the need to get people to click on something because the more clicks you get, then you know, the more you can sell your advertising for. But when it's something that's just so, if that is even the reason, so inflammatory, I don't know. It has to be deliberate. I don't know how somebody who, you know, would write that headline feel as if that gives an accurate portrayal of what the story's about. Who am I to say? I have no journalism degree. Here's Parker Padgett with traffic. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Has Nicole Galloway still not commented on the fact that a top advisor called Governor Parson an illiterate hillbilly? I mean, I've looked about to see if there's any sort of statement on trying to keep things, you know, from getting into mud wrestling, name-calling match. I don't think Parson has had anyone do anything like that, but I don't know. I just thought somebody is above all of the political rancor that Nicole would really be out there demanding an apology from her top advisor for using such derogatory language. But meanwhile, Missouri governor, that would be the illiterate hillbilly, Parson, won't appeal ruling favoring abortion provider. Now, this is a battle that's been going on some time. Missouri Governor Mike Parson will not contest a high-profile loss in his administration's bid to shut down the state's lone abortion provider. In a statement from the Republican's top health official, the administration said its decision to issue an operating license last week to Planned Parenthood makes an appeal of his year-long effort to close the facility unneeded. Well, yeah, I guess it does. If you're going to give them a permit to continue to perform abortions, I could see how that would seem counterintuitive to then try and block them from reopening. Republican Attorney General Eric Schmidt's office, which handled the case, concurred, saying the Department of Health and Senior Services has made it clear that they are not interested in pursuing this further since a new license has been issued and the issue is moot, therefore no further action will be taken. The department issued the license on Thursday to Planned Parenthood, allowing the facility on Forest Park Avenue in the city's central west end to operate through 2021. What I like about and I know they have to have done this on purpose. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch has this story. It's basically he's given up the fight. All right, go ahead, start churning out your abortions again. And in the photo that they use for the article, there's Parson, and behind him is a woman holding a sign saying, "Most pro-life governor ever." And you know that they did that on purpose. You know, here's a story about Parson going, he's like, all right, we're going to issue this permit so they can start performing abortions again. And they're like, let's use this photo of him with a woman holding the most pro-life governor sign ever. Yeah, that'll stick it. You know, they got a chuckle out of that one. Meanwhile, the former CEO of Planned Parenthood's Kansas City area office has been ousted as head of the abortion provider's largest affiliate following allegations of abusive behavior and systemic racism from former and current staff. Oh, what? The Board of Planned Parenthood of Greater New York announced today to staff members that it had parted ways with President and CEO Laura McQuaid, according to an internal memo obtained by the Star. Before taking the reins of the New York office, McQuaid had led Planned Parenthood Great Plains from July 2014 through August of 2017. The exit follows open letters signed by hundreds of current and former staff in New York and Kansas City that accuse McQuaid of abusive behavior, financial mismanagement, and systemic racism during her tenure. Former employees of the Kansas City area office told the Star that they had observed identical behavior during McQuaid's three-year tenure at Planned Parenthood Great Plains. And so there are all sorts of accusations. Back in 2017, a Lee Summit woman filed a lawsuit against Planned Parenthood Great Plains and McQuaid alleging race and disability discrimination or retaliation. The woman, who was the longtime director of securities and facilities, said McQuaid treated her differently than her non-black colleagues, paying her less than white employees and passing over her for executive positions. After she discussed those concerns with McQuaid, the woman said McQuaid increased her workload, then rejected her request for additional help despite providing her white colleagues with assistance. The lawsuit alleges plaintiff and other African-American employees were viewed with suspicion by defendant McQuaid. Now, when you have accusations of racism by someone who heads up an organization, and not just one or two people, but you have open letters by hundreds of people, seems to me like this is a call for defunding and dismantling. Isn't that what we do? Defund and dismantle? Oh, we're not going to call for it in that case, are we? It's sadly amusing to me when the culture of Planned Parenthood is called out as being racist and people are shocked by this, given the history of Planned Parenthood. Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, who would speak at KKK events, who saw the African-American community as less than the white community, who was a supporter of thinning it out through abortion, even to this day with disproportionately high number of abortion clinics in black neighborhoods. And they're shocked whenever the most recent CEO has personality traits that might be considered racist. Wake up. What do you think this organization is? Well, I just can't believe this. This is, oh, interesting. And, you know, let's see here. This is a Kansas City Star. It's funny because I don't really see any historical context here. Well, don't you think that historical context might be relevant? If you're writing a piece about the CEO of an organization and accusations that the CEO is racist, and given the racist origins of Planned Parenthood, that doesn't even get a mention. That just seems sort of significant to me. I guess to the folks at the Kansas City Star, that's not really that relevant. We don't need the black community knowing that. Well, but that was a long time ago. Oh. Oh, so history doesn't matter now? Is this entire movement that we are a part of not about doing away with things that had historical elements of racism to them, whether they do today or not? Once again, the picking and choosing is quite prevalent. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Teen Vogue has a really in-depth piece on Nicole Galloway and her efforts to right the wrongs of Missouri. And, you know, we're just this extreme anti-woman state. And, of course, it's always, it surrounds abortion. That's what it always is with these outlets. Doesn't really have anything to do with, you know, women or equality. It is pro-abortion. It's not pro-choice. It's pro-abortion. There is just this obsession with it that some people have, most of which who have never actually seen an abortion. And the constant denial of science is once again rearing its head from the left. But there's also a dishonest element, and because there's an echo chamber, there is never any attempt to get clarification. One of the comments that Galloway made regarding abortion is that I trust women to make their own healthcare decisions. Because we hear this a lot, right? They say, well, it's something up to the woman and no one else. And, you know, again, just forgetting science, forgetting all that stuff, But then when it comes down to it, what do they always say, ultimately, really? Well, as long as the doctor approves of it, right? It's between the woman and her doctor. So all of a sudden, it isn't the woman's choice. She has to get permission from the doctor. Well, I mean, but if the doctor doesn't want to perform it, Do we not live in a country where the left is constantly pushing lawsuits to force people, even if it's against their religious views, to participate in activities that violate their own religious stance? Whether it is issuing birth control as a pharmacist, or, you know, providing flowers for a wedding. This is the game that the left plays. They believe that you should be forced to perform certain acts if it's something that they support. And abortion is one of those things. So why, and this is a question Democrats never get asked. You say it's a woman's choice, but then you say, well, it's between her and her doctor. So what if her doctor says no? And what if the doctor's a man? All of a sudden, it's no longer her choice, is it? And they don't have to answer these questions because they're never asked to explain it. They could just throw out these bumper sticker, you know, because anytime you talk about the safety of the mother, well, you know, a doctor's permission, of course. You don't have a medical professional. You've got to have a trained medical professional. Why, if it's her choice? Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. IWantAGreatHomeLoan.com. It's a pretty simple process, actually. It's one that's been crafted to give you the best experience possible. I've mentioned before when I decided several years ago to make a home purchase, and I thought, well, you know, I know he's always talking about IWantAGreatHomeLoan.com, and I'll just ask him, you know, hey, what's the best way to get started? And he's like, IWantAGreatHomeLoan.com. You know, I didn't create that just for no reason. It's because it is the best way to do it. And it was. Enter some basic information. Someone from his team would get back with me and ask for some additional information that they don't want you sending over the internet just because of, you know, your safety and security, identity theft, and so forth. And then within 24 hours, I had numerous options available to me based on how long I plan on living in the house, how much of a down payment, if any, I wanted to make, and whether I wanted 15 or 30. And then actually about a year or two later, Don proactively contacted me saying, hey, you know, if you do this and this, you can come out ahead. And so I did it. His team, they've crafted this method of going through the home loan process to make it as easy as possible. And They keep you updated on changes that might be beneficial for you. IWantAGreatHomeLoan.com. That's IWantAGreatHomeLoan.com because you do. Don Luzader with news.
And good morning. Protests against Dixie Outfitters in Branson growing tense for the second straight weekend as locals clashed over the meaning and future of that store. Some of those opposing the store requested that it be removed from the strip there in Branson. Now, some others say the owners have ties to the KKK. Those supporting Dixie Outfitters say the Confederate flag represents heritage and not racism. They say the store should not be removed from the strip just because some people don't like it. Many gathered to back the blue in downtown Springfield on Sunday. Demonstrators waved flags and signs and ended the protest by marching to police headquarters. Counter-protesters also showed up at the event shouting for justice while back the blue demonstrators chanted America. And the Taney County Health Department is warning the public of yet another round of potential exposures of the coronavirus in Hollister and Branson. 11 people diagnosed with the coronavirus on Saturday. They visited only four locations in Branson. We have a list of those with this story at KSGF.com. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert Forecast. 50% chance of showers, thunderstorms, mainly after 5 today with a high of 84. Slight chance of showers, storms tonight, 73. 20% chance of showers, storms tomorrow with a high of 90. Heat index of 99. And Wednesday, Thursday, sunny, hot, high of 95 expected. Current temperature, 75 and mostly sunny. Mike Henry, who has voiced the character of Cleveland Brown for 2 decades on Family Guy, announced Friday he's stepping down from the role on the Fox animated series. Henry, who's 54, wrote on Twitter, "It's been an honor to play Cleveland on Family Guy for 20 years. He continued, "I love this character, but persons of color should play characters of color. Therefore, I will be stepping down from the role." Henry, who's white, sin, has voiced the character since the series debuted in 1999. He's also been the voice behind a Latina maid named Consuela on the series. Fox had no comment when reached by Fox News earlier on Friday. The network revealed that it will no longer have white actors voice characters of color on The Simpsons. Much like not being a journalist, I'm also not an actor. Though I have done some, you know, high school and post-high school a bit. School plays and dinner theater. Stone's Throw Theater outside of Carthage. Part of what I always understood about acting is that you were playing somebody you weren't. I was in a production where I played an Asian man once. I suppose now I wouldn't be able to. I mean, is this not what acting is? Pretending that you are somebody that you are not? There have been a number of other individuals who voice characters. One, I think it's Kristen Bell, voices a biracial character. She announced she's out. All of these people are you know, running from the, or they're just like, I'm out. I think this is preemptive. As a white person, if I were to learn that a black person were voicing the character of a white cartoon, it wouldn't make a dadgum bit of difference to me. Who cares? This is total and complete insanity. I remember when the show Glee first came on and it was discovered by people that the character in a wheelchair wasn't actually in a wheelchair. He was faking it. He wasn't actually wheelchair bound. There was outrage. How dare he act like he's in a wheelchair? Because it's acting? Well, there should be somebody who really is in a wheelchair. Well, what if they're not a good... What if you don't find the right person for the role? Isn't the point finding somebody who best portrays the character? There is a big push with the LGBT community as well that only gay people should be able to play gay characters. Now, how ridiculous is that? Are we going to say that then, well, gay people can't play straight characters? That only straight people should play straight characters? No, of course not. Because that's silly. We have children running the show. This stuff, it doesn't even make sense. It's so detached from reality. So completely detached from reality. And I suspect if any of these people you were to say, so what is racist about a person who for 20 years has voiced a character who happens to be a different color? Well, first off, what colors? Okay. Well, just because. Well, that's not an answer. Was there a long history that I'm unaware of? I mean, if we're going to tie this to history of, like, you know, black cartoons being played by white, you know, racist or Klans members or neo-Nazis that I'm unaware of. You know, again, I go back to the opening of the show where we're listing through just in Chicago. Once again, over a dozen people murdered, some of which were children. But this is what our focus is on. Oh, well, this is certainly going to help. Whew. Thank goodness. One less child murdered. Meanwhile, L'Oreal is removing the word whitening from its products. Industry-leading French cosmetics company L'Oreal announced that they will be removing words like whitening and lightening from their products after a number of beauty brands received backlash for their skin lightening products amidst ongoing protests for racial equality. The company said in a statement, the L'Oreal Group has decided to remove the words white, whitening, fair, fairness, light, lightening from all of the skin evening products. The move signals a shift from beauty giants to stand up against racial stereotypes. L'Oreal brightening creams are amongst the most popular on the market and are targeted towards Asian, African, and Caribbean buyers who face a cultural stigma where lighter skin is perceived as more desirable. By who? Now, call me crazy, but I don't care what color you are. I think if you want to make your skin look like a different color, that's your business. You know, the crazy thing about offering these products is that obviously they're being purchased. And if they are being purchased by African Americans or people in the Caribbean or because they want to look different, well, I mean, can you think of anything more white privilege than saying, no, guess what? We've decided that you shouldn't do that anymore. Oh, okay. So now we're telling black people? We're telling people who have darker skin that they aren't allowed to change their skin color if they want to anymore for cosmetic reasons. L'Oreal's promise for change comes a day after consumer products leader Unilever announced that they'd be changing the name of their Fair and Lovely cream that is popular in Asian for skin lightening. The product reportedly generated $500 billion in revenue in India last year, according to Yahoo News. But the brand says they are working to acknowledge how their terminology and branding perpetuates racial stereotypes. The company holds that Fair and Lovely range has never been and is not a skin bleaching product. Now here from, let's see, we've got, this is Johnson & Johnson. They're no longer going to make skin lightening products. According to the New York Daily News, Johnson & Johnson announced Friday it'll stop selling skin products marked as dark spot removers, but sometimes used as skin lighteners. From the company's statement, conversations over the past few weeks highlighted that some product names of our Neutrogena and Clean and Clear Dark Spot Reducer products represent fairness or white as better than your own unique skin tone. This was never our intention. Healthy skin is beautiful skin. Specifically at issue, Neutrogena's Fine and Fairness and Clear Fairness products. So now the powers that be are telling people who have darker skin color that they aren't allowed to alter it. All right. Parker Pageant, he's got our latest traffic update. I'm Nick Reed, Springfield's Talk 104.1. I mentioned that I'm not really an actor, and I did sight in high school and just after high school some theater I did, but I can't believe I forgot this. Somebody texted on the Queen City Motors talking text line. Oh, you were in Phantom of the Opera. That's right. I was in a production of Phantom that came through, a traveling production. Gosh, last year, the year before. So that is true. I forgot about that. A lot of people asking, what about teeth whitening? Will that be next? I don't know how they decide this stuff. That's when nothing is tethered to reality, when nothing is tethered to common sense, it's just like one trip, crazy LSD trip. You know, nothing makes sense. Up is down. You can hear colors. You can, you know, taste musical notes. Everything's crazy, and it, you know, you don't know. It's very hard to predict which direction these things are going to go. Let's go to Mike in Springfield. Mike, welcome.
No, good morning.
Good morning.
It's crazy as all this sounds. I mean, obviously, it's insane. But how long is it going to be till they're picketing tanning salons, calling it cultural appropriation?
Yeah, I don't.
Have a tan.
Well, and I don't know why they haven't done that yet. I don't know why. Now, some people would say, well, because that's ridiculous. Well, all of this is ridiculous. It's craziness. And it doesn't much of it. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. This is kind of on what you're talking about, sort of what you're talking about with acting. I don't know why haven't they gone in and computerized, put someone else who's gay in Philadelphia, because they need to get Tom Hanks out of there because he's not gay.
Yeah.
And then they need to get Tom Hanks out of Forrest Gump because he's not mentally challenged.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're going to strike Gone with the Wind, they probably need to start striking movies like that too.
I mean, it's insanity. And you could spend. What is crazy about all of this, it's all done in the name of somehow making things better. You think of all of this, the horrible stuff that actually is going on in the world, and this is instead what people choose to focus on. And some of it's because it allows people to do very little while making themselves feel as if they're doing something very big. You know, this is a lot easier than actually trying to do meaningful, positive things in the world, like teaching somebody to read who doesn't know how to read, or being a mentor to an inner city child that has no male role models in their lives. You know, those are very difficult, time-consuming things that oftentimes lead to disappointment, and they're not easy. But it's a lot easier to get on and sign a petition demanding that, L'Oreal ban whitening creams. You know, oh, look at what I did. Look at how great I am. Look at what I'm participating in. I'm making the world a better place. No, you're not. You're making it a more annoying place. Mike, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Jackson. Jackson, welcome.
Hey, Nick, appreciate your common sense and reasonable logic. Yeah, this whole idea, this insane thing going on with our cancel culture, you know, I'm no expert on the English language, but I wish some experts would chime in on this. But I've always found it interesting, for instance, how things are named. And, the indigenous people, the Indians, they were some of the first to name things. So you have names like the Washington Redskins. I don't find offense in that. And to illustrate a point, when I was working down in Louisiana, we worked near a town near Baton Rouge. And I was fascinated to find out that the way they named Baton Rouge was, I believe, the French or the Indians. The cypress stumps would stick up out of the swamps, and they were red sticks. And so hence came the name Baton Rouge, baton, like you twirl a baton,
right.
And then rouge, like makeup for your face. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting to me. And now you have people removing icons, you know, Aunt Jemima off the syrup? I mean, what is so offensive? And I may take some heat for this, but I'm just, from the very beginning of this blackface, all this fuss raised about blackface, I want to know what is so offensive about blackface. I have always thought that, like you're talking about actors and acting and portraying other characters.
Well,
you know, all of society, all of history has always adorned themselves with ornamentation, costuming, and you know, there's black people in Africa that put whiteface on. Tribes do it. Indians do it. So this, why do we have to accept this, that blackface is so horrible? And I see both people on both sides of the aisle just assuming that it's horrible. And I think it's a portrayal of, it's an illustration of culture, and it's celebrating different cultures. And I'm just so sick of the
well, I can tell
things, but we're forced to accept.
Yeah, I like you bring up the blackface, and this actually is an excellent illustration as to lost history. And this is what happens when we detach ourselves from history and start making demands just for whatever reason. The initial, as we, well, what we don't really think of it this way today, but the original discussion, if you will, about blackface was when you had a period of time where, for the purpose of stereotyping black people, playing, but you would have white people to portray blacks in a not very positive light, and so it was very exaggerated blackface. I mean, it was a clear, you could look and go, oh, that's blackface. It was done for the purposes of making fun of. Well, now what has happened, because I believe most, you know, we start to eliminate history and historical context, blackface has turned into anyone who has any sort of darkening on their face. Even if it's for, let's say, like Jimmy Kimmel. Now, he's caught some heat because he's a hypocrite for wearing makeup to look like Karl Malone. Now, it's referred to as blackface, but that's not what blackface was. He was doing it to be, you know, funny and imitate a specific person. He wasn't doing it to make fun of black people and have a very exaggerated set of makeup put on for those purposes. But we have transformed what that terminology means. And it is indicative of a culture that is totally detached from from reality and what that once upon a time was. And a lot of people today who claim that they're offended by it don't even really understand what the origins of it was. And this is an unfortunate, to me anyhow, signal of a society that thinks less and less, just emotionally driven and, you know, oh, people are outraged, I'm going to be outraged too, and then being told why they're outraged by it. I mean, we just... The intellectual discussion, conversation, the historical context, it's gone. I mean, when you have the wife of the LA Galaxy soccer player, he's not even from the States. I think he's Serbian born. And his wife put something critical on Facebook about these riots and marches and, you know, said unflattering things. He got fired. And in fact, he publicly was against what she was saying, still got fired. I mean, it's total hysteria. We've got to get a traffic update here with Parker. I'm Nick Reed. Springfield's Talk 104.1. Sorry, we don't have time for more calls this hour. I appreciate it. Just ran out of time. We do have a number of other things to talk about. I mean, we could just go on and on about the insanity, of course, of changing the word police. And, you know, the thing about it, ultimately, is that it doesn't improve life. It doesn't feed anyone who's hungry. It doesn't teach anybody who's illiterate to read. It doesn't make anyone safer. It's just all for self-gratification. News in 60 seconds.